Hey everyone, welcome to We Watch Stuff, Summer 31, and this is Jeremy, and joining me is, I'm not sure if you've officially put your name into the drawing yet, but I hear that there is a NAACP presidency opening up soon, and I think Shahid, you would be a perfect candidate for it.
Well, any place where, you know what? There's a reason why they have an opening, and the fact that it has an opening means that's probably a spot that I'll pass on. Besides the fact that it's in Spokane, Washington.
This is a new story to me. I didn't see this. Like, I was just telling you off the air. I didn't see this story until I saw Cam's Twitter. And I have to go read up on this. This almost is like a Soul Man sort of thing. To try and tie it into movies, except it wasn't college. She was just trying to get to the top of a community group. I don't know. Is that what the NAACP is now? Is that a community group? I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, that's no civil rights. I guess community. Okay. You know, it's yeah.
But not like Spokane, Washington, Podunk. You know, minority group. This is the NAACP. And this is the president of it. And she pulls a C. Thomas Howell on him.
Oh, man. Oh, and she went all in. Like I said, if they say if you're going to lie big. And more I read, did you know that she taught African and African-American art history, African history, African-American culture, the black women's struggle?
No, that is not. No.
An intro to Africana studies at East Washington University.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, you can teach anything, all right? But what was that horseshit class that you just said? African and women can... Wait.
Oh, the black women. The black women struggle.
What community college is offering that course?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, what's worse, this actually touches me on a personal level. She received her master's degree from Howard University, the same school I received my Doctor of Pharmacy degree, one of the oldest historically black colleges in the United States.
That, all right. So it is like Soul Man. Because, you know, this is only going to get bigger. And it's just going to get traced back that she's been forging these documents the entire time. And I wouldn't doubt it, just, and this is no research, just going off what you just said, that she used that to get into that school.
I mean, they do have minority scholarships for black schools.
No, that's not even what I mean, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, oh, no.
Talk about reverse way.
Yeah.
It's kind of, yeah, because... Apparently she didn't always call herself black. It was like she just was herself, and then something happened a while ago, and then all of a sudden she started waving her soldier rag around the place.
Well, I saw that picture of her with her husband and I guess four adopted kids or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a psychological element to that. Like, she's severely fucked in the head. To totally change, I mean, people's appearances are what they are, I suppose, but if she is versed in, like, African-American studies and all the other courses you just listed, it's almost like she's, like, cosplay to her. This is how they used to look, so I'm going to try and look like that, but on, like, any certain day, you know, I saw one, she had her hair braided, like, standing straight up. This one, she's got the curly fries hair. But then they show the original picture of her, and she's like a ginger white chick with freckles all over her face. Like, oh, my God.
Hey, maybe she's like the Briscoes. Because, you know what's funny? I used to thought the Briscoes were, like, mixed. Or, like, I'm like, do they have white people like that from Delaware? Like, that can't be that. So, you never know, but it's just... Yeah, I see old pictures of her when she was like 4 or 5, and now these sick pictures now, like, yeah, you can rock cornrows and have a tan. But come on, nobody was like, no one noticed. You're like, what was the background? You don't. That's the thing about this. You don't. NAACP chapters have had non-black heads of chapters. Like, yeah. You don't have to be black to be the head. Although it looks weird, it's not a requirement.
Right.
It's kind of like, if you want to do it, then you want to do it. But she, yeah, she. So she went all, like you say, soul man. Like, yeah, she checked every single box. I'm going to go to one of the predominantly black schools in the country. I'm going to teach African-American art. I'm going to adopt black kids. I'm going to have black adopted black brothers and call them my sons. I'm going to get cornrows.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about how I had to deal with these white people making fun of me at 12 years a slave. Like, yeah.
Wait. That was a joke, right?
No, that was part of her Twitter, you know, looking at all these. They had some tweets she had talking about, you know, keep in mind, like, the help. It was talking about how groundbreaking movie. Remember, it's a movie made by white people starring black maids that made $200 million for white people. Never forget. I guess she forgot. I've heard, you know, we both watch wrestling, and we used to talk about people living the gimmick. Yeah, she lived this damn gimmick. But like luchador status. Like, yeah, I wear the mask to bed. I wear it on the train. Like, yes, you know, I'm African-American, Native American, and something in Caucasian was what she checked as a background. And her parents like, yeah, biracial doesn't count if it's Dutch and German.
Well, I don't know. If you put German with anything, that seems to be a whole different race of people. So, it's, you know, maybe Dutch and Swiss, then you're like, no, that's the same thing there, honey. But I'm laughing about this because it's just an absurdity. I mean, just because of what you just said, you don't need to be African-American, whatever. Sure, it looks goofy, but okay. It's, you know, it's the old context of character or content of character or whatever else. So now, if proven true, how do you spin out of this to keep your job and not look like a total buffoon? I mean, just spin out of this to keep your job, I suppose. I mean, do you still go back on her record and go, well, you know what, she's done a lot of positive things? Or do you go, no, at the end of Soul Man, he got kicked out of school, so you lose your job. I mean, this seems, it's kind of a heinous thing depending on what her lying about all this actually entitled her to. Not entitled, but you know what I mean? Like, if that's how she was able to get into Howard, or if that's how she was able to get a job using the affirmative action process, if they even do that anymore, I'm not sure. But just changing your entire backstory and using it to your advantage, which is what this exactly looks like, there's got to be some major, like, bad repercussions from this.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Usually it's the other way around. Like, blacks passing as whites to get advantages in America. Like, rarely people say, you know what? I'm going to claim to be black to get a, you know, to get a heads up on the competition. Like, it usually doesn't go that way at all. So for her to just go and, like, go all out speaks like, yeah, I know some people go through the phases where they listen to rap music and they get cornrows, or, you know, they like watching basketball more than was considered normal. But there's got to be a cutoff point where, I guess, I'm reading all the things that's happening and I'm just flabbergasted. Like, why? That's the one. Like, you don't have to do this, and people don't go out to claim to be black if they don't have to. You know, the harsh thing to say right now is like, yeah, that's, you know, usually the other, like, they've had movies like Queen and stuff with Halle Berry where they pass and pretend to be white because it was easier. And there's a lot of people like, oh no, I'm not mixed, I'm whatever. Like, you hear, and we'll talk about people like that later, like The Rock and Vin Diesel, like, you know, no one looks at them as black, even though they both have black parents. Like, The Rock doesn't hide from it, but you always see him with his mom. We know about his dad because we watch wrestling, but you see The Rock as, like, it's just The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Vin Diesel kind of play like, I'm mysterious, I'm from something. It's like, he's black and Italian, but you got to look it up to find out. Like, he rarely talks about it, and it's not like something where he's not going to show up in, like, an Ice Cube movie or, like, barbershop cracking jokes. Put it that way. He's going to do like mainstream stuff because it's kind of like, you know he's not white, but you don't know what he is unless you got to look for it. Because usually it's kind of like, I'll use it to my advantage to check that box and be something different without dealing with the whole stigma and, you know, being pigeonholed or something. She went the complete opposite. Like, I'm going to jump in this circle. I'm claiming it.
I just like the terminology. She just jumped into it. Like, it was, there's no turning back, that leap of faith. But yeah, it's, I just don't understand. And it brings me nothing but laughter. So, I don't know. I don't know if there's much more to say about her, but you did mention 12 Years a Slave, and we didn't have this on the list, but did you see that they actually have a villain for the Doctor Strange movie now?
No, I didn't see that yet.
Yes. Oh, I wish you had, because I will send over the name. He's the lead in 12 Years a Slave. Chetwell
Ojafor.
Ojafor.
Yeah.
Yep. He's... Let me send that over. He will be... He's taking a white man's job, thank you. So...
Oh, that's allowed when you're the villain. Yeah, it's called the Kingpin Rule.
We're even.
Oh. Yeah, Michael...
Like, this chick took one of your jobs, you're taking one of ours. We're calling it a wash.
Oh, that's... Like I say, that's called justice. It's funny,
hey,
like...
you people took Johnny Storm from us. Let's not forget that. So you know what? We're not even. We are... And Perry White. We are... And Jimmy Olsen. Listen, this is really getting kind of ridiculous.
We took Ben Urich, too, and you saw how long that lasted.
Yeah, you know what? Exactly. That's exactly how that should have played out.
Yeah. Like I say, start burning those Confederate flags when we take Wolverine. Let them relax.
Well, I was trying to think of what... Like, there's already been a black Superman, so... You know, everyone survived that. I was going to say we. Well, you know what? We did survive that. It was like, oh, he's an alternate Earth Superman. Okay. Whew. That's fine with us. Now, his name's not Clark Kent at all. All right, cool. All right, we're good. But he did kind of look like Barack Obama, though. That was kind of weird. But do you have any idea what I'm talking about, by the way?
I do vaguely. I've heard, because, I think I might have heard when they did an alternate thing, and if Superman was this, and of course people complain PC stuff and whatever.
Yeah. No, it was Grant Morrison. He was doing Action Comics, and they introduced a Superman of another Earth. Mm. And the only thing that made it weird was it really did resemble Barack Obama.
Yeah, that part I remember too.
I was like, that's kind of strange, but. And then they introduced another Kryptonian in the new Earth 2 series. Since, if I remember, Superman died in that one. Like, Kal-El, or Clark Kent, died, so he's been hiding on Earth the whole time and just didn't want anyone to know. So, that was that one. But, he's still around, at least.
Yeah, that Doctor Strange casting has been funny, because they've been talking about filling who was to be, what's their role, the Master or whatever, and it was between... Ken Watanabe, Morgan Freeman, and Helen Mirren?
Oh, I don't know anything about Doctor Strange. I know he's
like a... Like, the role is like, mystical Asian teacher that teaches Doctor Strange. I'll be Doctor Strange. Mm. So he's like, stereotypical Asian guy. And just the fact that casting included a Japanese man, a black man, and a Russian/English woman seems kind of weird, but
it's like they're just trying to pigeonhole people into, like, all right, what other big actor can we get for our movie so they can't do DC movies or shows, I guess.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange, whatever, whoever they want to cast is fine. I know nothing about it. I actually had to look up this villain. I was like, oh, okay. But if you're dealing with Eastern mystical arts, shouldn't they be Asian, though?
Yeah, but then you run into the thing where a lot of those villains can't do those. We talked about them in Big Trouble in Little China. You can't really do those villains now because, like, every time they got Asian roles, we slant-eyed, caricatures.
Oh, dude, I was watching a show the other day, and they were going over like Hollywood racist, Hollywood racism, and they would show those old like 40s and 50s movies with like white people just dressed up with like the eye makeup to make them look squintier and like, the fake like Fu Manchus and all that. I'm like, yeah, the good old days are gone. That it's funny to me, but I've got a goofy ass sense of humor, so. Yeah. But
the good old days.
Yeah, they'll always be the good old days. But no, that's just strange to me. Like Ken Watanabe, he was. God, why am I drawing a blank on him?
Godzilla.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And Batman Begins.
Okay. So, whatever happened to Chow Yun Fat?
He stayed in Asia and made money doing Asian movies like everybody else. Like it was funny they had movies that make like $100 million in China. No one ever hears about. Like John Cusack was just in a kung fu movie with Jackie Chan that made $125 million.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, and the only reason I knew that because they had a Grantland article about John Cusack talking about his career. He's like, "Yeah, I'm a fan of Jackie Chan." My agent called me, said, "You want to play a Roman emperor in China in a kung fu movie? Like, sure, why not?"
Okay.
Yeah.
He made a boatload of money, so good for him. Yeah, even watching Netflix, you see all of a sudden, like, there's, like, four De Niro movies, and you're like, what are these? And they're garbage movies, but they're all recent. Like,
go on Netflix, you can go into a rabbit hole of, like, Netflix all-stars. Him, Bruce Willis.
Travolta.
Of course, Samuel Jackson, mm-hmm. Wesley Snipes, Jean-Claude Van Damme. my favorite combo for a while, they don't do them anymore, was Val Kilmer, 50 Cent. I think they did like five movies
together. Oh my God. Well, that would explain why Val Kilmer got fat and 50 Cent the rail now. Just like an amoeba just sucking off onto the other person. Which is the total wrong terminology to use right now, but
yeah.
In that example. Well, hey, Jingles, come here and take this off. All right, so there's that, but I don't know anything. I have 12 Years a Slave recorded, but I don't think I'll ever get to it. But I don't know anything about this guy.
Well, he is a great character actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. I know like genre stuff. He was the villain in Serenity. Firefly, the movie they did from that Firefly series, he was good in that. Like, I never even watched the series. I watched the movie, and he was good in that. He was in Inside Man.
American Gangster. Like Denzel.
Oh, yeah, he was one of Denzel's brothers with American Gangster.
He was in 2012?
Yeah, he was playing, like, a geologist. He's been a lot of stuff, and, I like to call him, like, you know, he does all the roles that Idris Elba doesn't do because he's light-skinned, so.
Okay, you know, I mean, that's, I don't know, not a dead topic, but since you mentioned him, Idris Elba, another one that wasn't on the list, but it'll lead into something else.
Yeah.
Did Marvel waste him by making him just a nothing character in Thor?
I don't think Marvel realized how big a deal he was. It's like, oh, it's a name, but I don't think Kevin Feige watched The Wire like that. It's kind of like they knew he was wasted. Because considering he's going to be allegedly or probably definitely the villain of, you know, the next Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been talking about him being, if they ever have a Black James Bond, it'll be him. Yeah, having him play a bit role in Thor movies seems wasted.
Yeah, and I just thought of that because basically for all those reasons. And then what was that? What was the movie that he was the murderer killer guy, whatever that movie was, and that made money? I mean, yeah. So you can look at it two ways: the subject matter carried that movie, or his face helped make that movie popular.
Oh no, he's like I say, he's not a big time box office thing, but people will go to see movies because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he has a sizable fan. My wife and her friends just lose their damn mind over this man. Like, he just, it's just something, like, you know, he's got the whole culture thing. he can definitely act. Like, I didn't realize he was British until he was interviewed one time, because I remember him from The Wire. He just sounded like a regular American guy. I'm like, and then he just talked. The same thing like that Hugh Laurie thing. The first time you hear Hugh Laurie's accent, it's like, oh, they're not Americans from, like, Cleveland. Like, they're British, yeah. So.
Most of that cast from The Wire was a foreign cast, which I thought was strange. But, yeah, I just thought of that, and I was trying to think of what character in a Marvel movie could he play. I mean, because they've already got a Luke Cage, which he didn't really fit the bill anyways.
Yeah, if it was going to be any role but Black Panther.
Yeah, that's taken. Yeah. So, I mean, unless they take somebody else and, you know, race swap, whatever, I don't know where you could put him in. Well, there was a character called Goliath. So maybe, but he's such a big character, and all he did is grow big, so...
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But I was like...
I would guess...
Why not have DC swoop in and be like, hey, you want a franchise? We've got some characters you can play. And jump ship. It could be like the old Monday Night Wars.
Fighting over stars. I would think the only one he could do, that's if he felt like doing it... Blade. If Wesley Snipes not gonna do it again, then he could do it. It would be weird because that wouldn't be the first person I would think of to play that role, but he could play that role. So.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you. Wesley Snipes, I mean, they're not gonna be able to use him again for that, I don't think, unless they really get his ass back together.
I mean, he's still in shape. And he's still, I mean, you could just play it like, you know, older Blade. Like, for his age, he definitely looks great for his age. And he's definitely still in shape. So, physically, he can play the role.
Mentally, though.
Yeah. That's. I mean, he seems like he's got this new NBC show coming out in the fall. So, we'll see how that goes. But I think, you know, how when I think of, like, characters and who fits their roles, like, he's one of those where... Blade, I think Wesley Snipes, like they just go hand in hand. Everyone else who's played him, I never thought compared because I always thought that's Wesley Snipes' role.
For him, would you want to step into an established character like that and either start over, possibly, which would be bad? But I still think Blade would work better like a Daredevil series. I don't think, you know, he's already done Luther, he's done The Office, done The Wire. It's like, do you want to do another series?
I mean, we're in a world now, and we'll probably talk about it later, where The Rock's doing a TV show.
Yeah.
And I can't think of the first, I'm thinking, unless you want to count True Detective, when, like, an established movie star, like box office star, says, yes, I'm going to do a TV show and be the star of it, not like a guest star, so.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking, though, with The Blade, I mean, I'll call it the Blade problem there. Wesley Snipes is like the definitive because he's got charisma, obviously. So does Idris Elba. It's totally different charisma though.
Yeah.
And I just and you know, I know it's acting, so maybe he can tone it down. But Idris Elba seems a smooth confidence, where Wesley Snipes, you look at him and go, okay, that's a confident motherfucker right there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that might be the main difference. Not that, you know, with acting, you can't get around it.
Yeah, the difference between two, like, Idris Elba can play menacing because he's a good enough actor to do it. Wesley Snipes just seems menacing without even trying. Like, from you see his roles, like, it's just like that whole, like, you know how they call Randy Orton the Viper? No. Wesley Snipes comes off like a damn snake. Mm-hmm. Like he just has like a menace about him. And it's so menacing because he doesn't try. It's just there.
Yeah, you articulated that far better than I did. But yeah, that's exactly it. So I don't know, you know, if it would work. Not that, you know, it's even on the agenda, mind you. Yeah. But since I mentioned Daredevil, there's actually two bits of news which we forgot about. We forgot about the second one, but it'll become clear. This season coming up is supposed to have Elektra, Punisher and Bullseye. We knew about Bullseye and Elektra. Punisher has actually been casted now.
Yeah.
And good old Shane from The Walking Dead, who you may think, well, that doesn't fit. Jon Bernthal. Dude, I at first I was like, I don't know. It's kind of strange. But then I saw that picture they posted of him holding a shotgun from The Walking Dead with his hair grown out as well. And I'm like, he pumps weights for a little bit, and he's perfect. And I don't know how... And I guess this is what casting directors get paid for, and get paid pretty nicely for it. I would have never thought of that.
Yeah. It's funny, Marvel kind of... I think we joked about it. The only person I thought of that would have been a better fit is Frank Grillo, and they already using him for Captain America. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, like, you know, Marvel kind of, I don't want to say shot themselves in the foot, because, you know, they just have such an abundance of talent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, he had, I don't know, like, Walking Dead always, I wasn't a fan of his. I always thought he was just a doofus. But him and Snitch sold me, because it's just something like, you know, he could hang with The Rock and not get blown off the screen. And that's hard to do. Like, a lot of people either, like, you know, shirk to the background or have to play a completely different role. And he felt like he fit. Like, he didn't seem out of place. Like, he just has that whole, like, sad, you know, desperate darkness about him. But a good, you know, good-hearted at the end. So I could see him playing a role. I wouldn't have thought of him, you know, in the beginning. Like, I'm casting Punisher. That's not a name I would have thought of initially, yeah. But...
Well, his intensity in those last few episodes of Walking Dead, I mean, it was a while ago, so people may forget, but his intensity was just off the charts, because I'm not 13. Jesus.
Off the chain. Like,
I was going to say charts, and it came out chains, and I'm like, dude, you got a cover for that. So
didn't hang around Dusty too much.
But yeah, so there was that, but then I also saw Mob City. It was the miniseries on TNT by Frank Darabont.
Yeah.
The miniseries was what it was, but he was really good in it as the lead as well. And then his spin in Wolf of Wall Street as the drug guy.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in that. Yeah, he was good in that.
Yeah.
I remember that role. Mm-hmm.
So the acting chops are there to handle it, because I think Marvel, especially with the Daredevil series, they got the most out of the actors.
Yeah.
And not saying that the material for Daredevil wasn't good, because it was, but the performances really elevated that to where, like, some of the DC shows could really kind of learn from it.
Well, that's the difference between Marvel and DC is DC populates themselves with pretty people and they hope they can act. Marvel, it's actors. And some of them just happen to be pretty and some not, but they all can, like, lift weight. I mean, you know, you're going Rosario Dawson and Vincent D'Onofrio. It's almost like you're cheating. You can have them in a Netflix show.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Vincent D'Onofrio, well, he did TV for a while, so, but it was still an odd thing to see him doing a superhero show. You know, I mean, even though he was the bad guy, so we didn't have to worry about too many superpower glitches, but yeah, so that actually had me genuinely excited, because I know when I first mentioned it, or you mentioned it, whatever it was, I can't remember who told who each news, because it was one to one.
Yeah, I told you.
Okay.
You told me about the rumor. I told you about this one. Yeah,
that's right. Because I was like, is this confirmed? So, but yeah, so I mean, that should be some pretty intense stuff. I kind of got a block. Well, this will be real quick. How do you think the characterization of the Punisher should be laid out? Because he's an antiquated character.
Yeah, I mean, you can update him. It's like, you know, some, Iraq or Afghanistan vet, blah, 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 like moving from Vietnam to that, still have the same core thing. Like, have him the contrast of he crosses the line that Daredevil won't. Because that's always been the dichotomy between the two. Like, they both want the same thing, but know, certain superheroes, like, I'm gonna beat you up and break your legs, but I won't kill you, because that means if I don't want to be a villain like you, which always sound kind of silly, but always got that, whole Batman, the Batman thing. Yeah, I'll break your kneecap, but I won't shoot you because I'm not a criminal.
Yeah, I'll beat the hell out of you, possibly, you know, paralyze you, but you'll still live.
Yeah, like, I won't cross that line. That way the cops won't arrest me. Yeah. And then, like, Punisher's always been, like, from the Wolverine school of handling business. Like, you know, dead men can't fight back.
Yeah. Well, but even, like, the Punisher to begin with was a villain. And then everyone loved the, you know, shoot first, don't ask any questions because they're dead sort of attitude. And then it turned into him, like, I mean, there's Punisher kills the Marvel Universe. Like, Garth Ennis's run on Punisher was just, well, made into Punisher Warzone, the movie, which actually, on a second or third watch, I was like, all right, this is actually kind of fun. But it's just, it's weird to root for a guy who just goes around killing people. It's a weird thing. But then we find ourselves rooting for, like, Jason and Freddy and not Michael Myers, not so much.
We watched Arrow Season 1. He was running around killing people, and no one... I mean, it kind of stood out because I wasn't used to it, but I never felt, oh, that's kind of all. I was like, it's about damn time. He's Batman with balls.
Yeah. And then he got away from it until he had to kill Roz. Spoiler alert. We never discussed that season finale.
No, we didn't.
But real quick, he stabs Roz, supposed to be dead, kicks him over, or did Roz get shot? God, I forgot already.
I think he was, he get shot and stabbed, or stabbed and shot. Like, they were about to shoot one of them, mm-hmm. or both of them.
Both, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so they can always bring him back, which I guess they're not going to yet, because Hive is the next villain. They announced today, a script leaked for the next season, if it's true, but anyways, so you've got a potential for Daredevil, a potential villain slash partner. Elektra still hasn't been cast. And then the other rumor that came out last week was Jason Statham playing Bullseye, which is awesome.
It'd be so perfect.
Just throw boatloads of money at him. But he didn't really help the case when he said anybody can do one of those Marvel movies.
I mean, but it's not a movie. I know he won't act like he's above it all, because he shows up on Netflix too. Mm-hmm. So, on plenty of time. Like, he does. It's funny, like, he's the type where he just seems like he's working all the time. Like, he does big budget movies, and he'll do Netflix movies. So, why not?
Well, so he used to be, when I used to listen to Opie and Anthony, every movie he that came out, he was in studio. It seemed like he was on rotation every 2 months promoting a new movie. And I think one of them finally asked, like, when do you not do something? He's like, no, mate, these just come out when they come out. And it's like, well, that's not really an answer, because you have to make these movies, you know? I mean,
yeah.
But
some people just like working. I think maybe like The Rock and Samuel Jackson, they're always doing something. Like, and I remember you talked about before wondering, do you want to have too many characters in the same pot? And I'm like, if they're only in, like, you know, one or two episodes.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of having, like, a series instead of a movie, where they can breathe. Like, season one, Stick was a great character. He showed up one episode, and that was it.
And then, well, also, I can't remember who Stick was talking to. That was another character. I figured it out, but now I forgot who it was. I'm sorry. And by figuring it out, I mean I read what somebody else wrote and then looked it up and went, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Because Daredevil's another character just kind of blank on. But, I still stick to, like, I am kind of worried about, you know, just so much, so many characters. But, yeah, I can't imagine Punisher is going to be just a one-off episode or two-off. There's going to be something where he's a recurring character. And possibly, and I don't think a movie could work, but there's definitely room for a series with him. Like, a Punisher series would work all right. So having Bullseye is maybe be the kingpin of the series. I'm sorry, the season. I think that would work. And then, especially if it's Statham. One thing that I don't think he gets credit for is how he elevates the movies he's in. And people go, that movie was awesome. But if you put such someone and such. Else in that role.
Yeah.
You're like,
if you put John Courtney in that role, then yeah, that's a perfect example. Like, you know, take a movie and it kind of leads into San Andreas, which we're about to talk about. Yeah. Take a movie, if you put character A in it, how good is it? And if you put character, like, if you put Jason Statham in a bad movie, it'll still be enjoyable because it's Jason Statham. Yeah. If you put Joe Blow in a movie, it's like, this is boring.
Yeah.
And like, he elevates his movie because it's like, what's that goofy movie? Homefront, or Homeland. When,
oh boy, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that movie had no business being entertained. I love that movie, even though it was not a good movie. Just the ridiculousness of Jason Statham being a New Orleans undercover cop. And
with a single dad.
Yeah.
Who has, you know, has to keep his daughter in check from beating everybody up.
Yeah, and James Franco as a meth dealer named Gator. Yes. Just walking around chewing scenery and just being a dickhead but a coward. That's the best part about it. Like, you know, when push comes to shove, he didn't know how to handle anything. Like, him and Winona Ryder playing poor white trash.
I was just looking up who else. It was Winona mm-hmm. Ryder. That's right.
Yeah. And Kate Bosworth showing up as, you know, that sister. You got to stand up to him. I'm going to get my brother.
Uh-huh.
And Frank Grillo showing up. That's the only thing I didn't like, was that they should have had a longer fight, Frank Grillo and Jason Statham. You had those two in the movie. The fight got to last longer than 30 seconds, but yeah.
Okay, so I just pulled up Statham's IMDb, okay? So, and I'm going to start in 2010, all right?
Mm.
It's just movies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And then he's got The Mechanic Resurrection, which is coming out in 2016. He's been, was it 17 movies? At least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. He's been on 3 movies a year since 2010.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, now, like Daniel Day-Lewis probably won't be in 3 more movies for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
His comparison.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen Redemption.
I've seen half of it.
Oh, I started watching. No, yeah. I did watch this.
On Netflix. Just shows you.
Yes, yes, yeah. This is one of the Netflix movies.
It always pops up like, you might like this. So that Blitz always pops up.
Right. I've not seen Wild Card.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
That just popped up.
Haven't seen Spy yet. Furious 7, obviously.
Yeah, he's hilarious in Spy. And now that's all I'll say. He is so funny.
Wow, Crank was 2006? That was that long ago?
I mean,
and
yeah.
Crank High Voltage was 2009. Wow. I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Six years ago. Yeah. Time flies.
I did not get into Crank High Voltage at all.
I liked the first one.
Yeah.
The second one, it seemed like it was just too much.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he was shoving, like, in the beginning of the scene, everything's going nuts. He shoves, like a electric wire up some guy's ass, and I'm like, what's going on here? Like, and I read somewhere where this was supposed to, like, what Crank did for, like, violence and, like, exploitation, like, violent exploitation, that Crank 2 was supposed to do the same thing for sex and sexuality. And I'm like, well, maybe it did. But I turned it off after 15 minutes because I couldn't take it anymore.
I think it was more like how Kick-Ass was a certain way, and then Kick-Ass 2 was just too much. And it missed kind of like what made the first one good. That's how I feel about Crank in the sequel. Like, you can do satire and hyper-censored movies to a certain extent. But once you go past that line, then you just got mess. It's yeah. Like, you know, difference between somebody proving a point and a 16-year-old making a movie.
Dude, I'm looking at his stuff. I think I've seen almost all of these. First movie was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. And it just goes up. Snatch, Turn It Up, Ghost of Mars, The One, Mean Machine, Transporter. Wow. Oh, yeah, Transporter. Duh, not The Mechanic. He's got a lot of those or one-word titles, though.
To the point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. As where Seagal had 3, he had 2. So, or 1, excuse me. But yeah, but Statham in Daredevil would be, I think that, I almost said Marvel's biggest coup, because Marvel really resurrected Robert Downey Jr.'s career. Chris Evans wasn't really doing all that much. Chris Hemsworth was a nobody.
Yeah.
But this is, and you know, they've pulled in other people. Like Glenn Close was in Guardians of the Galaxy, all that stuff.
Robert Redford, still my most surprising one.
Okay, and that was a movie. And, yeah. You know, no offense to Rosario Dawson or Vincent D'Onofrio, but you're taking a guy in Jason Statham that he's a huge movie guy, regardless if they're like his box office doesn't lean towards that. So you're going to take him out of making apparently 3 movies a year and sit him down for a few months making a TV show. What a great sell job, if this comes to fruition, what a great sell job that is.
Well, like I say, at this point, I would never bet against Marvel, because they're almost like Richie Rich when it comes to casting. Like, I don't even blink an eye. Oh, because we seen Ant-Man, and, you know, it's Michael Douglas is in it. And I just think, like, that's a normal thing. Why would I think that's a normal thing of Michael Douglas playing Hank Pym and I don't, you know, blink an eye? Like, oh, because I saw Robert Redford play the head of Hydra 2 years ago.
Well, so I think we did this before, but what's the next movie star that would surprise you in a Marvel movie? Like,
the
like
only
Brad
one that
Pitt?
Would surprise me? No.
George
the only
Clooney.
One that would Denzel Washington. That's the
I
only
don't,
one.
Honestly, that's, with his age, I don't think that would be a huge surprise.
He's
almost 60, isn't he?
Yeah, but he doesn't. He does what he wants. I'm like, you know, Tom Cruise said he was going to be Iron Man.
That's right, we did have this.
Yeah, because
we talked Tom Cruise was another.
Yeah, because, like, he almost did it. I guess it's because there's only a few where it's kind of like I can make a movie and make money and I don't need to do a genre movie, and, like, you know, Brad Pitt's one, Denzel's another, DC already snatched up The Rock. So
supposedly, I still have doubts that movie's ever coming out.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't be surprised if I might see Rock in a Marvel movie for a DC movie. Like, you know, I was going to do this, but, you know, clanging and
too
banging.
Damn long. But we can get back into that, because we still got San Andreas to talk about. I still haven't seen it. I'm probably not going to get around to seeing it in theaters, unfortunately. I mean, it's not by choice, but just buying a house and having to cut down a Cambodian jungle in the backyard, it takes a lot longer to do with your bare hands because you don't have lawn equipment yet. So.
Yeah, Predator lied about that, didn't it?
Wait, is that where – that wasn't where Predator was?
No, they was in South America.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, wait a second.
Walking around with a hatch, just cutting down trees like it's a big deal. So
Or another one's Romancing the Stone. Going way back. When Michael Douglas is driving around, what was it, Columbia? And they go off road, and the van or the Jeep's just hitting nothing. They get down, and he's just very easy, just chopping. Occasionally, he'd take a branch, chop through it. And I'm like, oh, is that all it takes? That all it takes? All right. But yeah, this is, it's, as I keep telling Elise, we paid too much for this house. Chop. We paid too much. Chop. Finally something falls. But a stupid movie about an earthquake, a world-changing earthquake, has made $108 million as of yesterday in this country alone. Overseas, it's already made $188 million. When you saw this preview, there's no way you thought, wow, this movie's going to be huge money. You thought, okay, that'll be all right. It'll do pretty well. Cool, Rock's going to make it better. It's gonna generate, they're thinking, $500 million.
It's amazing. I mean, what can you say? It's like, you know, we talk about it's The Rock, but he's never had like a big movie by himself like this. And I would not have guessed that this had been that movie. Even though, let me rephrase that. And I know, like, Journey 2, did you see that?
No, I haven't seen any of those.
Okay, I saw that, and it's a goofy family movie. That movie made like 200 million domestic and like 600 million worldwide. I have no idea how. Like, that's ridiculous numbers.
Because like people my parents went and saw it. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, like a kiddie movie. And it's like a basically a PG movie and The Rock's playing a lovable, goofy character. But yeah, when I saw the previews, I'm like, I'm going to go see it. Maybe it'll do well. You know, it might break 70. Like Hercules. Like Hercules did okay because they didn't really mark it. Just one, it was like two movies in the 1 year, and the two, it just seemed kind of how they mark it and how the movie was two completely different movies. So you never know. Like it's a disaster movie. It might be 2012, or it might be like The Core, like bomb. So like The Rock or No Rock, and for it to just do the numbers it's doing, it's just. It's amazing. Like,
yeah,
he's a movie. Like now, like yeah, he's a movie star. Movie star. One of the few that's out there.
Okay, that's where I actually wanted to go with this. And we brought up the possibility of a Shazam movie. He doesn't need that Shazam movie anymore.
He doesn't need to do like The Rock.
Yeah,
I'm just like he has an HBO show coming out in 2 weeks
that he executive produced.
Yeah,
I mean that was his baby, but that's where I wanted to go was, you know, you've got the Furious movie, Fast and Furious movies. He was a part of their huge box office, but that was the whole thing is he's just a part of it. Probably the best part of the last two, but they weren't his movies.
Yeah.
So you get this goofy ass San Andreas movie, which, you know, I don't know where you can find how much he made off the movie, but. It was still, you got to figure, not scale, but he couldn't have made that much. Because these movies are all budget-driven. So, like, all right, we'll get The Rock. You know, he's had some success. He's got a name. Now it's made this much money, and, you know, his agent and him have got to be looking at each other going, I can do whatever I want now. I think that the success of this movie has led to that. And I know he's got the Baller show coming up, but it's not... Like, you don't make $25 million a movie on TV. You don't get to call the big shots like that making a TV show.
He might be the exception because it's like McConaughey was last year with True Detective. Like, I'm going to make big movies that make money. I'm going to win an Oscar, and I'm going to get True Detective. Like, he just had a... Because I know we talk about it's not a big deal to see, like, stars do TV shows. Like, you know, Kevin Spacey does House of Cards. You saw True Detective and everything like that. But you don't see movie stars doing TV shows and it'll star the show. Like, you know, Brad Pitt might show up to do an episode for something. But he's not going to do a series, like, you know, on Showtime.
Right. Yeah. No.
It's different with, what's his name? Clive Owen doing the Nick. Like, Clive Owen is an actor that does a movie, but he's not like a box office, like, big shot. Like, The Rock's the damn Rock. Like, he can, like you say, he can do whatever he wants. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to do Fast and Furious movies. I'm going to do G.I. Joe movies. I'm going to do TNT specials. I'm going to do Spike TV specials. I got this HBO show coming here. It's like, if he does the DC movie, fine, but he can tell him to kick rocks and his career will be okay.
Yeah. And that's why I think DC needs to put the pedal down a little bit and either fast track it or find him something else to do. Because Shazam is a confusing character, which is why he had to choose, you know, Black Adam. The Rock's fit more for Shazam if he wasn't the tone of the skin's too dark, to put it lightly. I mean, you put a wig on anybody, but everything else is perfect about him. The smile, charisma, all that stuff. So, you know what? To hell with what I just said. Maybe it's fine. People can look past it. He may look a little bit goofy with the wig on, like the Captain Marvel or Shazam wig, but it doesn't seem like him... I think him being the villain in that movie is going to totally overshadow whoever plays Shazam.
Yeah, and when is that movie supposed to come out? 2000?
Do they even have any sort of date for it? Because it's been rumored for, what, 5-6 years now?
Yeah, it's like, you don't want to come out. I'm like The Rock's in great shape, but you don't want to wait for him to be, like, 48 years old to do all that. Like, he might, like, I don't feel like doing this shit anymore. You know, you took too long.
All right, so supposedly 2019, per IMDb, okay. April 5th, 2019.
So that's 4 years from now. So he'd be 47 or 48. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to do something about that.
Yeah. It's not going to work. But, you know, that's down the road. But the important part is that I really honestly think San Andreas has now just given him the clout to just go no, and that's why he's executive producer on that Ballers movie, on that Ballers show. Which basically, doesn't that just mean that you can oversee it, but you get way more money?
It's it's my idea. I can run the shots more or less. It's like that's his show, and HBO giving him a shot, and it's just. For HBO thing, it's kind of like, you know, we're doing Entourage with a better damn actor,
yeah,
more or less.
And if more interesting, probably. And yeah. Hopefully a story.
And,
so.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the previews, the early reviews say, you know, like, it's a good show, to an entertaining show, so it's like, it's fun because The Rock's in it. You know, like, The Rock's, people want to see The Rock succeed, and that helps. And just the fact that he's on a – when does this man sleep? That's what I want to know.
He's another guy. Yeah. I know they just shared a movie, but could you imagine just a movie between The Rock and Statham? If they were on opposite sides having to tangle with each other? Like, just them. I know there were discussions about a Hobbs spinoff for the Fast and Furious. So – why not? Maybe that's why they set it up at the end that way. A whole over the top battle royal movie with The Rock and Jason Statham to round that out. Wow.
Yeah. It's just he's just always working, and yeah, like it's funny to see like how his career has just, you know, turned up, because usually people in movies kind of, if they peak, they either peak real early or they peak when they're like an old man, and they usually don't, you know, increase their box office with time. And there's some exception, like Denzel is like kind of one of those exceptions, and like The Rock's another one. Like Denzel went from doing, you know, Malcolm X to being an action star in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem out of place, because it's, even though... not like he's in shape like that, but no one has a problem because he just has, you know, gravitas. Like Liam Neeson had the same thing where, yeah, I can picture him doing that because he just has that look about him. And like, you know, The Rock started with Scorpion King, and San Andreas was his biggest opening since that movie, like a movie he starred by himself.
Yeah,
so that's to tell you how his career has went.
And there's no reason that's not going to slow down. All this talk, I didn't even look up, you know, what his next projects are. Let's see.
Got that show.
And Ballers, and then, oh my God. All right, so Journey to the Center of the Earth 4. Fast and Furious Supercharged? It's a short. A Big Trouble in Little China. Journey 3 from the Earth to the Moon. Oh, that must be next. All right.
Yeah.
Central Intelligence, Mona?
Yeah, that's...
or Moana? Yeah, Central...
Oh, that's an animated movie.
Okay. Furious 8, and then Shazam.
Yeah, that Central Intelligence is going to make a lot of money, because people like The Rock and people like Kevin Hart, and those are two stars of that movie. So it's like a mismatched action comedy movie.
Oh. Hopefully it's rated R. I doubt it, though.
Yeah. Because that's another one, like, I was thinking about who's, like, movie stars where people will go see that this person because of this actor. And, you know, regardless of the script, regardless of the movie, it is not a lot of people, actually. It's kind of like maybe 7-8 guys and 3 females, like, off the top of my head. And who are some of yours, real fast?
I always struggle with this. Like, in what context are we talking? Just, like, big?
Like, somehow you think of where it doesn't matter what it is, people go see the movie because of name. Like, their name sells the movie.
You know what? I wanted to say Tom Cruise is the first one, but he's had an increasingly hard time getting people to his flicks, no matter how good they are.
He's still international. You know? He still has it.
True.
America. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, action-wise or just big-time?
General. I think
Vin Diesel's one. I think the Fast and Furious stuff, well, he hasn't really made much, though, past those that did anything.
I mean, I like this way. Like, Riddick made, you know, it made money. Like, it didn't make a lot of money, but it had a small-ass budget. People still want to see that. But he's only really done those two movies lately. When I think of the list, I think of Denzel. Until recently, Liam Neeson. I think of, you know, Melissa McCarthy. People go see even her crap movies. People go see her movies.
Well, that Tammy movie kind of tanked.
That Tammy movie made over $100 million.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
All right.
Yes.
Never mind.
Like, when bad movies make money, you know you make it. Like, I think of her. I think of now, like, Scarlett Johansson. I think of Sandra Bullock and Angelina Jolie. Those are my women. I forgot all about Sandra Bullock. But, like, those four, people go see their movies, and they make money.
Total box office worldwide for Tammy was $100 million. It grossed $84 million here on $20 million budget. Wow.
Yeah, like man, you know, I guess, I don't know, Brad Pitt maybe?
I think Will Ferrell used to be in that.
Yeah, like Will Ferrell used to be, like Kevin Hart is now, surprisingly. Mark Wahlberg is.
Yeah, who saw that coming?
He's just a likable jackass. Like a masshole.
On the screen at least, yes.
Yeah, on the screen. Oh, yeah, outside the screen is a whole different story.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a lot. Like, Will Smith used to be, but that's kind of shaky these days. You know, like, Tom Cruise is international, but it's not a lot.
Will Smith's too busy taking roles and trying to get his kid into shit, which we can get into next time because we did not talk about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to avoid that, but, like, everybody else is, like, people go see me if I'm in, like, a big time genre series. The Rock made a big deal saying, like, you know, this movie, it wasn't a sequel, it wasn't based off a comic book or another book. Like, this is just a story, and thank you for making it a big deal. Like, that's hard, because you see Tomorrowland wasn't that, and it bombed because, one, they never did it. Like, the previews never really did a good job of describing what the movie was about. Mm-hmm. And I would have thought they learned a lesson with John Carter. He did the same thing. Like, if it's something weird, I know you don't want to give the movie away, but you got to tell them something. This ain't that worked with Cloverfield, but that's the exception. That's not the rule. And if you don't have a suspense movie like that, you got to tell them what the movie's about.
I don't care about Tomorrowland, but Tomorrowland seemed to be in that spot with, like, Speed Racer, that slot, the movie slot right after the big action movie comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And that one to me looked like that. Tomorrowland seemed to be the similar vein. Like, whatever comes out right after the big one usually tanks the next time. So you always, like, this year there wasn't anything. And I think Tomorrowland, I take that back, actually came out 2 weeks later. And it still sucked.
Yeah, because like this summer it started with, like, Fast and Furious. Then it had, like, a month head start, and then you had the Avengers, Mad Max, San Andreas, Tomorrowland, and next is going to be, like, Jurassic World, which we're going to see today. Yeah, it's tonight with that, and then, like, Terminator, Mission Impossible, Ant-Man, and what else? It's something else I'm probably forgetting. Up until, like, the fall and winter stuff.
Yeah, and then the biggest one of the year.
Yeah, Star Wars.
So it's going to be weird. And then next year is going to be kind of strange, too, because you got Suicide Squad, Batman, Superman. Well, actually, reverse the timing they come out. But no Marvel movie next year, though, is there? I don't think. Or Civil War next year.
Civil War is next. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, Avengers 3 is Civil War.
Yeah. Avengers 2.5 is what everyone's calling it. It's like, all right. But That was everything, and I guess they, you know, we can talk about for a little bit because we're running, we ran a tad bit long, but doesn't matter. Don't usually talk wrestling on this show, but this is rather important. Everyone knows, especially if you're listening to this on this site, that Dusty Rhodes passed away Thursday at the age of 69. The details haven't really come out about what happened, but the only thing I saw was that he had been battling an illness, and he apparently lost. It's sad. There's no way around it. Of all good guys, I actually rooted for Dusty Rhodes. what a surprise. I mean,
he seemed like the last few times he's been on TV, it's always weird when you see people that used to be big and then they start getting small. And it's kind of like, you know, normally like getting small means, oh, he's getting in shape, he's taking care of his health. And Dusty Rhodes, it looks sick. Like, it just didn't look right.
He lost weight, yeah. Yeah. Like, most old people do. I was actually talking to Eric about that. I was like, well, you get old, you lose weight for some reason. I was like, I need to get old pretty quick. I need a quick fix. I was shocked. I saw that. I didn't believe it. I saw someone post on Facebook. And I was like, all right. So I went straight to WWE's site, and there it was. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
But I don't know, how familiar were you with his old work?
See, I remember him vaguely in NWA when he beat, I think, Luger for the U.S. title. I remember that match. I don't know why. I think that's the first time. But the first time I really, like, I saw more of his WWF stuff first. Like, that was the era of Dusty Rhodes. So I didn't realize how big a deal was. I just remember, like, anything, I'm the Fleming here with my polka dots, baby. And I'm just going to be here for all the common folk. And all. I'm like, who is this fat guy with this splotch and this jerk curl? And why is he talking this jive? Like, he was, like, it was something about it that pulled him in. I could see how he was a star, even though he had no business being one. But watching his older stuff when I got older, like, part of me, like, you know what? He just stealing off black stuff. Like, he's stealing off Muhammad Ali and all this other stuff on one hand. But it was entertaining, and it was a perfect foil. It's like Ric Flair. Like, I was a Ric Flair fan growing up because I remember Flair, and Flair was just smooth and cool and all that stuff. But him and Dusty Rhodes was, like, perfect for each other. And I could see why people get behind, you know, Dusty Rhodes and, you know, the hard time stuff, that promos. Like, that, he's like, you know, I'm this common guy. I'm just doing the best I can, and I'm gonna raise the people up, and it worked. It just some things just work. I didn't care about the work rate and how he booked and all that stuff. Like, I know that's how a lot of smart fans now. Oh, Dusty Rhodes, the man that ruined WCW and TNA and blah 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 with the Dusty Finish, if you will. Like, whatever. Like, I don't care about that. All that's true. But that has nothing to do with me. Like, I can watch an old school Dusty Rhodes match and not complain, you know, five people taking the elbow like it's like Pac-Man. It works. Like, you know, it worked for Hulk Hogan. It worked for Dusty Rhodes. He was enjoyable. So, yeah.
And I know, like, Jonathan Coachman's taking some crap about how he said he was a horrible wrestler, but he was a great entertainer. I was like, well, maybe you shouldn't use the word horrible, but, you know, you kind of get the point. His point was that He was an incredible entertainer, and it's funny because one of the guys at work, he's young, he's 30, he had no idea who he was, and he's like, yeah, so he's like, so Dusty Rhodes, he's like, blah blah blah, and I'm like, yeah, so I started sending him videos. I was like, he's probably the best talker ever, maybe. I mean, it's always harsh to say or hard to say someone's the best ever at talking in wrestling.
Him and Flair, yeah.
Don't forget The Rock now.
Yeah, you know what? Rock was always my number one, but I felt kind of like it's easy to say The Rock. Like, I always got four, and it was always in whatever order: The Rock, Flair, Dusty Rhodes, and Austin.
Yeah,
always been like four mic-wise.
Yeah, but even then, you could add other people in there too. Like, CM Punk was a hell of a talker on the mic.
Mm.
You know, and it's just different styles, and. Yeah. The well, if you even want to go managers, Paul Heyman and Bobby Heenan, for that matter, you know? But it was funny, because I started sending him videos, and because he's like, who's this fat guy? Just kind of like that. And I was like, just listen to what he's saying. Don't worry about anything else. And I sent him the Hard Times. He looked up the blood sausage maker on his own. I sent him the baby doll one where he threatens to slap her. And I don't care what women's group get. I don't care what women's group come after me, baby. She's gonna step to me. She's gonna get smacked in the face. And I was like, oh my god. And even I think it was Shivani or Bob Cottle's like, what the fuck is he talking about? What was the other one? There was another one. Oh, I found the Hall of Fame induction one, where I had, like, you know, I've wined and dined with kings and queens, and I've ate pork and beans.
Been in alleys with pork.
That's
been
it.
In alleys with pork and beans. Yeah,
and
I went
had the
king and queens, and I've been in alleys doing pork and beans.
And then the I'm so pretty, I'm so sweet. That one, and he's like, this guy was great. And I was like, yeah. I was like, he really, really was. And there you go. So it's just funny that I didn't understand how big Dusty Rhodes was until yesterday, when major news outlets were picking it up.
I mean,
I always figured as wrestling fans, yeah, we knew who Dusty Rhodes was. He was big, but...
No, because you got to keep in mind, he was from that time frame where, like, late 70s, early 80s, where the big stars was, like, everybody knew, like, my parents, like, them Georgia, Florida, Carolina star, like, everyone knew who Bruno was in the Northeast, because Bruno was a big-time thing. Like, my parents knew who Dusty Rhodes was. Like, Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair and was probably, like, the biggest Southern names, like, that era. And, like, everybody knew who they... Even if you didn't watch wrestling, you knew who they were. And it's kind of like a few people like that, like the Freebirds, Billy Graham was like that. And then, of course, you know, like, it's easy to think, like, everyone knew who Hulk Hogan was and maybe Randy Savage. But, yeah, Dusty Rhodes was a big deal for a long time. And I think I missed a lot of his good stuff because I grew up, I didn't have, by the time I got cable, he was in WWF, so I missed all his early stuff.
Yeah, I knew him from NWA, Mid-Atlantic, whatever it was, on TBS, and just him beating up Tully Blanchard with a bat and then getting suspended, coming back as the Lone Rider. That was clearly Dusty Rhodes. My grandfather's like, why are they letting him wrestle? That's clearly Dusty Rhodes. I'm like, they can't prove it. He's under a mask. But I think something that you hit on, I've read it, other people hit on it as well, the common man thing, I think, really got through. And I was talking to Eric about it, because Eric wrote a blog on the site about Dusty Rhodes was his grandmother's favorite wrestler. And I remember my grandfather being totally attached to Dusty Rhodes, because it just seemed genuine. And even Eric said, yeah, it's Dusty Rhodes believed everything he was saying out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier. Yeah, it's easier for somebody to relate to somebody like Dusty Rhodes than like Ric Flair. Like, how many people you know can talk about they got the big house on the hill and got 30 women and 30 cars? Yeah. Like, you may want to be like Ric Flair, but you know that's a fantasy. You could easily see yourself hanging with Dusty Rhodes at the bar.
Yeah. Oh, that was another one. Dusty Rhodes talking about how much money he makes. He's like, as long as I'm still making $500,000 a year, I don't care what they have to say. I enjoy the nightlife way more than the gym life. That's why I look like this. And I was like, that's kind of borderline heelish if you're going against Ric Flair. But
yeah, but if you say it with enough pizzazz and enough that like this, and you put a little bit in it, it sounds like the cameraman. See, that's why I like Dusty Rhodes, because anybody you can do a personation of, and everybody know, you know, it's just so enjoyable doing that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And no matter how bad you sound, it still sounds good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now I was actually kind of sad about it yesterday. That just, it was a weird reaction. Like, I even told Lisa, like, I got a little teary-eyed reading about it. I was like, I don't understand why. I guess maybe he had an effect on me as a youngster. I didn't know, because I mean, he really hasn't been seen, you know, outside of some backstage segments, and then, you know, knowing he works at NXT in the Performance Center. But yeah, that was a weird reaction. So, you know, he gets added to the pantheon of, like, celebrities that actually, like, either brought me the straight out tears or made me get misty eyed. So,
well, on that note, time to wrap up.
It is. So, sleep well. I was going to say sweet prince, but he wasn't a prince. So,
if he was the son of a plumber, yes, he never hang with princes, but he hang with the common folk, baby, and never forget that.
You know what? No plugs. That's just a good way to end it.
Okay.
Well, all right. We'll do the plugs. You guys can follow us on Stunt Granny on all social media. Email stuntgranny@gmail.com. You know, you can find us on all audio platforms, too. Just put in Stunt Granny. You don't even need to put in We Watch Stuff. It'll automatically pull all the shows. For more on Dusty Rhodes, I know Kevin and Ken talked about him a little bit on OPA. I can't remember the number offhand. It's the latest OPA show. Eric has a blog about him. I think they're trying to get a show with him and Dan together. Talk about him, talk about his career. Because Dan and Eric are really good with the historical stuff. And I'm just not. So, and Kevin, their history knowledge is kind of weird. So, but thanks for listening. I'm going to get out of here. We'll be back next week. Hopefully we can talk about Jurassic Park. I think I'm going to see it this weekend. Kind of busy. But we'll find out. And I'll let you take us out, man.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. Remember, follow your dreams no matter where it takes you. We are out.